Amen. Go ahead and remain standing, and then that way we can get right into our text. And I was going to say, I had surgery to fix my hernia, and now that we just sang that song, I'm going to have to go back and get it fixed again. That was high. That was way up there. John chapter 3. And also mark in your Bible, maybe if it's right next door, chapter 4 as well. We're going to be referencing chapter 4. But first of all, we're going to read John chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse number 18. John chapter 3, begin reading in verse number 18. So God says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. What a beautiful day has been. Thank you so much for the rain that you provided for us yesterday and helped us to cool down the temperature. And Lord, we thank you so much for it. Thank you so much for a good service we had this morning as well. Thank you for the second opportunity we have to meet in your house, to worship you, to sing your praises, to look into your word tonight. We do pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, bless our missionaries as they continue to labor as well. Some may be ministering at the same time we are, and pray, Lord, that you'll bless them, give them the words to say, give them fruit for their labor as well. Lord, keep us safe the rest of this week as we begin this new week. And Lord, we just pray especially for Miss Tina and Miss Faye and Brother Tom and others in our family, church family that are not feeling well. We just pray that you touch their hand, put your hand upon them, touch them. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title for the night's message, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And Jesus Christ is giving some instructions here. And the picture of what Christ teaches is found in John chapter 4, as you look over to the woman at the well, and she pictures what Jesus Christ gave. I love it when Jesus Christ preaches a message, and then the illustration of it and the show proof of it is right there. It's right there for all of us to see. And she pictures what Jesus Christ teaches here in John chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. You know, men, have you ever been lost and didn't realize until somebody pointed it out? Have you ever been there before, just walking or just going somewhere and you didn't realize it, and next thing you know, you're lost and you didn't even know that you're lost? You know, guys, aren't our wives really good at this observation? You've heard this before. Do you know where we are going? Do you know? Or she'll ask it in some other way. Many times, however, rather than admit the husband is lost, he'll say this: "Oh, I know a shortcut. We're going a shortcut. I know a better route. My wife is good at this. GPS says we should be going this way." And I'll be, "You know, I think it's faster to go this way around here. We know better than a computer and its math program." You know, we'll say it like that. I really do believe GPS maths have saved a lot of heartache and helped a lot of heartaches. Watching something the other day, and someone was talking about, used to print up good old MapQuest. Y'all remember MapQuest? Printing up 5 sheets of pages of instructions on how to get somewhere and doing different things. As missionaries, the hardest thing to do was follow pastors' directions on how to get to their church building, because they didn't know the streets. They just knew different landmarks. And we were driving into New York, and one preacher said, "When you see a McDonald's, get off on that freeway." There's like 35 New York, and McDonald's is in New York, so we got lost on that one too. Got lost on that one. You know, we find ourselves reading the story of a woman in chapter 4 who was spiritually lost, especially in verse number 4 all the way down through to really to the end of the chapter. She was lost and didn't know it. She had some idea of what was supposed to happen, and as she talks to Jesus Christ, she quotes and relates some prophecy to him and some things that they were expecting and some things that had been taught her in a general sense. And she kind of had an idea of the Messiah and how he was going to come. And she had no real true idea that she was lost. She was living her life, and we know her story and the things about her. She was getting well at water at the well at kind of an unusual time. And so here she was and living her life. She had no idea that she was lost. However, She needed someone, and Jesus Christ was really the only one who was willing to shine the light of himself to her. She was lost, and she needed someone to show her the way. And she needed Jesus Christ to do that. And so if you look over in the text, in chapter number 4, Jesus Christ is leaving, and he's leaving Judea, and he's beginning to make his travels again. And verse number 4 has a very important phrase there, and he must needs go through Samaria. This phrase must needs here means a necessity, a compulsion. It's something like a destiny. There was something that was driving Jesus Christ to go this specific route. There were different ways to go, and we know the story here. It was going to take him right through Samaria, and the Jews at the time would go out of their way to really go the long way around to in order to avoid Samaria. If they had business anywhere around it, they wouldn't go through it. They wouldn't take the shortcut. They would go the longest way around. Remember when we were kids and some neighbor had a really mean dog and we knew it was on our street, but rather than just face up to the big dog, we'd walk all the way around the street to get back to our house. I was the only one. If you know us Osters, there's not a whole lot of us, so we didn't want to give the dog too much to look forward to. But she needed it, and Jesus Christ knew that she was going to be at this well. He knew that she was going to be there, and he understood his own people. He understood their own philosophy. He understood the way that they viewed the Samaritans, and he really even truthfully, and it'll be revealed here in just a little bit, he even understood the character and mindset of his own apostles, his own disciples. And had Jesus Christ not been there and the disciples had gone through Samaria, they would have never talked to this woman. She would have remained lost, but Jesus Christ understood that. And so he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because verse 18 of our text says this, that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He understood that this lady, though no one has ever given her the gospel before, though it's never been explained to her before, she had the same problem every other person does, that regardless of whether or not they've heard the gospel, they still must be saved. They still must trust in Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. There may be those who one day will stand before Christ at the judgment, having never had a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ given to them. But though they received it, and if they do not receive Jesus Christ, they will still spend eternity in hell. They're condemned already. We know that Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and therefore their sin prevents them from having any opportunity of spending time in heaven for eternity, whether they know it or not." We know the rule. There's no excuse of the law, correct? I mean, if you move somewhere, when we moved to Argentina and we understood full well, I may not know all the laws of Argentina, but if I broke them, I'm going to go to jail, regardless if somebody explained it to me or not. It's my responsibility. And so the Jews here viewed the Samaritans, truthfully, as mongrels or half-Jews. They were a mixed religion, and so they did everything they could to avoid them. And therefore, the gospel was not getting to these folks, and they were not hearing the gospel. And here was a woman already with a less than favorable reputation, and so now she even had two things counting against her. But Jesus Christ knew that here was a lady who was primed. She was ready to receive the gospel, and she didn't even know she was lost until she met the Savior. So we see, first of all, we see the unknowing lost. Verse number 18, as we read there, that there are many that are already condemned, not because they are bad people, but because they have not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. There will be many that stand before God and say, "Have we not done mighty wondrous works in thy name and done other things for you?" In fact, they've lived a pretty decent, good life, and none of those things are what condemn a man or a woman to hell. It's that they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. As our pastor correctly stated this morning, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Ask any missionary, "Can you find or know of any lost people who don't know that they're lost?" Every missionary will say, "Look at my country. There's people everywhere." The woman here at the well was lost and didn't even know it. Verse number 10 of chapter 4, and here Jesus Christ is talking to her. And he said unto her in verse number 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, that thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? And here was a woman who didn't even know she was lost. And here he was asking her questions, and he was asking her spiritual questions, but she was responding with physical answers. She didn't even know that the Savior was trying to point her to himself. And he was trying to give her to look at him, to look at him as the river of water, the life that could be hers for eternity. She was just like many people that feel emptiness but do not know how to fill that emptiness. There are people everywhere in the world today that sit in a chair and they look at a wall and they know that there's something missing, but they don't know what the truth is. There are folks, I know there are folks even here in Goodyear who don't even know that they're lost and yet they're condemned. Many will chase after false religions. Many will chase after physical satisfaction. We're seeing an epidemic in our society today of drug use and drug addiction and alcohol addiction and drunkenness. And it's beginning to eat and destroy our country. More people have died of drugs in the last 2 or 3 years than have ever in history. People are searching for something to fill the void. They look to that substance abuse. They look to feel that satisfaction in life, but they can find out very quickly that it never satisfied. Verse number 13 of chapter 4, look what it says. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, as he pointed to the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still considering herself. She's still thinking in a physical manner. She's still thinking that Jesus Christ has a bucket somewhere that doesn't end or doesn't go dry. But Jesus Christ was continuing to help her to see, to look beyond the physical, to look to their spiritual life, and to be able to have that void filled by him. Aren't you glad that you're a Christian this day? Well, a few of us are glad to be a Christian. Aren't you glad to be a Christian? We look to this world and there's hotlines and there's all kinds of different things to try to help people to fill that emptiness and fill that void within their life. But I can look and I have a Bible that I can read in the mornings, and I can spend time with my Heavenly Father, and I don't have to wander through life aimlessly trying to fill a void. No, Jesus Christ says, I'm spring up within you a well that never runs dry. I have peace within my heart. I can go to bed at night knowing that if I don't wake up, I wake up in the presence of the Heavenly Father. I have that within my life. But there are many that feel the emptiness but do not know how to fill that emptiness. Many know the need but truly, honestly wonder who will help. Here was a lady, and she said, well, I want some of this water, but are you going to give me some of this water? Can you help me with it? We look to Acts chapter 10, and Cornelius was just praying, somebody come and help me. Somebody come and help me. I can promise you, friends, today, they don't know it, but there are many that are still seeking. They're still praying. They're still asking, come and help us. Come and help us. I know there are folks in Argentina that wish they had more missionaries to give them the gospel. I've been in Argentina and passed out tracts and just pages of Bibles. We would just hand out pages of Bibles, and people would hold on to them as if you gave them $1 million, because here was something that could give them hope. They've been raised in the Catholic religion and all of the Catholicism, and it did nothing for them. It didn't satisfy. It didn't heal them. It didn't give them fulfillment. It didn't satisfy the longing within their heart and life. And then when you present them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's as if you were giving them the best thing they've ever had in their life. They desire it. The Ethiopian eunuch said in Acts chapter 8, verse 31, as Peter jumped into his chariot and asked him, sir, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? He had the word of God in his hand, and he felt something there. And as he read through the Bible and as he read through the word of God, he could feel that there was something there. And here was the woman at the well. Maybe she could begin to feel and sense something, and something was there. But they needed someone to explain it to them. You know, our next door neighbor, they might be hurting. They just need someone to explain it to them. They may not even know that they're lost. I truly believe that also there are some that are frustrated because no one will tell them. Because no one will tell them. One person put it this way, and I wrote it in my notes. It was a really convicting question. It was asked this: would it be awkward when someone else witnesses to your friends and family or acquaintances while you're there? Would that be awkward? My father-in-law got saved, and he said he went back, and he was working his job, and he got back to his job, and he started telling everybody immediately, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I got saved. Praise the Lord." And turned out one of his coworkers had been saved, been working in with them for 20 or 30 years, and never told him once. And my father-in-law looked at, "You've known I've been lost this whole time, and you never told me? I had to hear it from someone else? I wonder if we were home and preacher came to the house and we began to give the gospel, would our family members look to us and say, what's this? I've never heard this before. Or our coworkers or our friends, what's taking place?" And it was very even convicting in my own life. I wonder how many times I've been around lost people and I've talked with them and I've communed with them and I've spent any amount of time with them and I went away from them, never giving them the gospel. My friends today, we don't know. That could have been the last opportunity they had. What's the Bible say? What is your life? It's a vapor. Appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You understand that you could be the last person anyone comes into contact with that has the gospel? How would we feel to know that we spent some time or talked to someone, maybe at a gas station or a grocery store, and then the next thing you know, you look and see that they passed away? And we think to ourselves, I hope they had salvation because I didn't explain it to them. Here was this woman at the well. Jesus Christ fully understood. I fully believe, I fully understand that Jesus Christ, he was here. He had a path to take, and he knew that this woman was going to be at this well, and he knew her routine. He knew what she was going to be doing. He knew exactly when she would be there, and he was sitting at that well waiting because he knew full well that if he didn't tell her, no one else was going to, because she was a Samaritan. My apostles, they're Jews, and they allowed their prejudice to prevent them from witnessing to her. If it wasn't for me, who would tell her? We ought to get to this idea, Christians, that we have to get this idea in our heart and mind that everyone we talk to, as far as we're concerned, we're the last one they're going to talk to. Because it could be. They could be the last one. So we find, first of all, the unknowing lost in verse number 18. Verse number 19, we see the condemnation of sin. In our text there in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation. So we see in verse number 18 that there are those who are condemned. They're condemned already. And so God explains verse 18 and verse number 19. And this is the condemnation. What God's talking about. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The most evil thing a man can do is reject Jesus Christ and reject his Son. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Why would God be angry? Because mankind rejected his only begotten Son. He sacrificed his Son upon a cross, and mankind said, "No, I don't want that." So God says they're condemned. They're condemned because here was the light. Here was the light shining upon her. You see, we need a Savior as soon as the law is broken and mankind can't keep the law. We look here, and as Jesus Christ continued to deal with this woman, she says in verse number 19, "Woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." She began to point to her religion. She began to try to justify herself. She began to try to make herself feel a little better. Maybe the conviction had begun to show. She began to see that Jesus Christ was speaking of himself and the water of life that he can give to her. But she wanted it on her own terms. She wanted it in her own way. She wanted to redeem herself by her own good works. She wanted to redeem herself by her own good actions. She wanted to redeem herself by her own justification. But my friends, it's not possible to do so. Romans chapter 4, verse 13, God says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. and the promise made of none effects. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no wrath is, there is no transgression. You see, there's a condemnation of sin. Many will not naturally come to the light. Men aren't moths to the light. They're not. They'll try to hide from it. They'll try to hide from their sin. Romans chapter 3 verse 11 clearly says, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that's righteous. No, not one. The woman here tried to justify her own sin. And the woman here was shown her own condemnation for her own sin. If you look back to the text there in verse number 16, Jesus Christ asked her a very pointed question. And I want you to notice this very pointed question. He said, go call thy husband and come hither. A pointed question. Do you notice that Jesus Christ didn't ask her, hey, do you know if you're a sinner? He didn't ask that. He asked her a pointed question. You see, Jesus Christ deals with individuals in a pointed way. What was her sin? Her sin was that she had more than one husband. And he pointed that out. She says in verse 17, the woman said, I have no husband. But Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast how many husbands? Five husbands. People ask, oh, does it matter? Does it really matter? God's counting. And that was her sin. She had five husbands. That was sin. And he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly. See, he dealt with her sin specifically. Five husbands and living with the sixth man. He pointed out her sin. Remember back to the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler tried to justify himself. And Jesus Christ said, you know the law? And he said, oh yeah, I've kept the law from my youth. But then Jesus Christ as an individual pointed out his specific sin. He didn't love others as he loved himself. He was a very selfish individual. And he loved himself. And Jesus Christ spoke and done with specific sin. I want you to help you understand that when God wants us to confess our sins, he wants us to be specific. You see, there's the reason why the Pharisees had such a hard time is they felt like, hey, I'm a pretty good person. Compared to the rest of the world, I'm a good person. What do I have to confess? And I believe there's a lot of Christians. We got to be honest with ourselves. We still have our flesh. There's a lot of Christians in the world today that are still treating just like this woman here. Well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not as bad as ever. Watch the news. I'm not like anything on there. And so therefore, I don't really have anything to confess to the Lord because I'm a pretty good person. But if we really allow the Holy Spirit to show us our specific sins, when I lead someone to Christ, I do the best I can to point out a specific sin. Romans 3:23 does say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is speaking of humanity. Mankind has sinned. Of that there is no doubt. Mankind has sinned. Wherefore death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5. Passed on from Adam. But when God says, when I'm going to start talking to you as an individual, I'm going to start pointing out your sin individually. When we spend time with God, and we really want to clean up our lives and get right with God, we deal with our sins specifically. Because we could say to God, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, just forgive me for my sins. And that's a genuine thing. But God in heaven, you think he knows what they are? He knows what they are. God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So when I allow my flesh to get there, my flesh to have reign, I've got to take care of those sins. Here was the woman at the well. I'm a religious person. I'm a pretty good person. How many husbands you got? Oh, I'm not with a husband. Well, that's true, but you got five of them, and you have another guy. He dealt with her specifically with her specific sins. So I like to do this. I like to go to Revelations and read of all the sins that people commit that condemn them to eternity in hell. Pretty much all of them most people might be able to get away with, but then the Bible says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. How many of us have ever told a lie before? Go ahead and raise your hand, because if not, you're lying. And so, especially when I deal with teenagers, how many times, teenagers, have you been honest with your parents? You lied to them before? You're a sinner. Specific sins. Specific sins. So then when they pray and ask God, he knows. And it's an interesting thing. If you look to your text, and down in verse number 29, she makes an interesting statement. In verse number 29, She says, come and see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? If he knows one sin, he knows all those sins. And he told everything. Because once she realized she had conviction for one sin, she knew every other single sin she did in her entire life. But what's the Bible saying? James. James says, if you've broken one law, you've broken all the laws. Broken all of them. So here she was. She was condemned by sin. Condemned by sin. Verse number 20 of our text. Thirdly, verse number 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, mankind will do everything possible to hide his sin. They'll try to point to other religions over God. They'll try to tell you this, well, all roads lead to heaven, but they do not. Jesus Christ said in John 3:3, and Jesus answered and said, and verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, unless you've been born again, you can't go to heaven. It's not possible. It's not possible. Many will choose atheism, and no matter what people tell you, atheism is a religion just like any other. It worships man as their God. They rely on their own self-preservation for eternity. It's called humanism. And they'll try to do everything, but Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I could earn and if I could merit my own eternity and my own salvation, then Jesus Christ needed not die on the cross. He could have stayed in heaven. He did not humble himself. And here was a woman that needed it. She needed to be saved. She needed to accept Christ as her Lord and personal Savior. Verse number 26 of our text. And Jesus said, "Her I that speak unto thee am he." It was her. And she received that light. You look to verse number 21 of our text. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. If you like to know English, verse number 21 is a very great verse. For he that doeth truth, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus Christ, if I do that, if I do what Jesus Christ says, I come to the light. Who's the light? Jesus Christ. So I have to do the light to get to the truth, that his deeds may be made manifest. Not the individuals, Christ's deeds. So I come to him, I come to the light, so that truth, Jesus Christ, his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What does God do for me? Well, he fills it up. He gives me a spring of living water. I'll never thirst again. I have hope for eternity. I have hope for the future. He does it for me. It's Christ that does it for me. When I receive the living water, he gives me everlasting life. John chapter 6, verse 35, and Jesus saith unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, just like it says there in verse number 21, but he that truth cometh to the light. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Never thirst. It's not God's will that anyone remain condemned. He looked out to the world. He went out of his way in the Jewish mind. He went out of his way to go meet with a woman and sit at a well and take the time to fellowship with and commune with so that she could come to him and that she could receive the light, the truth in her life. And now she went away happy. She went away excited. She went away telling others about Jesus Christ. She was excited about it. John 3:17, just a few verses prior to that, for God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Understanding they're already condemned before he got there. That wasn't the point. He came so that they could have life, that they could have it abundantly. You know, whether or not you can personally lead someone to Christ, you can still bring them to him. I've had folks say, oh, I don't know if I can lead someone to Christ. I don't know if I know how. Well, you know a great place that's full of people that do? Church, it's a great thing. It's an awesome thing. You know why we used to see lots and lots of revivals and thousands of people getting saved in church on Sundays in the old, good old days. You remember those good old days? Because Christians used to bring lost people to church. They used to bring them to church. You see, without Christ, this woman would have never been saved. She had heard of Christ. She had it, verse number 20 of chapter 4. She had heard of Christ. It had been mentioned before, but she needed someone to explain it to her. The disciples were too good for them to waste their time. A very sad verse, verse number 27. And upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Can you, I don't know, why is he talking? Does he not know she's a Samaritan? Good night. That's a Samaritan. We don't talk to Samaritan people. How sad that is. I've met Christians that said, "No, I don't witness to those people. I don't tell people about. I don't witness to those people. I don't tell them about Christ." Sad. It's sad. I kind of stay away from that individual, and that's what they said. But we're not going to say anything. Let's let Christ. Let's let him do his thing. I wonder how many people pass us by who are in that place. Or who are those kind of people? Had it not been for Jesus, this woman would have died lost. Because we can see that the apostles wouldn't have wasted their time. They'd have walked right on by. That's a Samaritan woman. No, we're too good for that. First part of the book of Acts, they were going to the Jews only. But God says, gospel's for everybody. Gospel's for everyone. Everyone. Those who have the living water. Those who do not have the living water are condemned already. People that have never even heard are still condemned. And there are condemned people all around and probably don't even know they're condemned. Next time somebody cuts you off on the freeway, it's probably going to happen lots of time here. Rather than air out our frustrations, maybe we say, well, they're lost. And maybe they don't even know they're lost. And that's why they act that way. They're lost. We have the light of the world. We must shine it as bright as we can and bring the knowing, bring the light to the lost and even to the unknowing lost. One of the things we did for our teenagers at Central Park Baptist Church, we wanted to encourage our teenagers to begin to invite folks to church. And in Louisville, in that area in Texas, we have 6A schools. We have 6A schools. They're huge schools. Louisville High School has a school for each grade. So there's 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Each building, each grade school has 3,000 or 4,000 people per class. It's huge. But we had in our church 5 or 6 of these high schools represented in our youth department. So what I challenged our teenagers this, each one of you probably knows somebody in your school who you don't think would ever get saved or that you purposely avoid. That you purposely avoid. So what we're going to do is we're going to challenge. We're going to start with one school, Turner High School, Louisville High School. We're going to start with one school. I want you to name someone who ordinarily you'd never even talk to. Ordinarily you just totally ignore, or ordinarily you just think that they're so bad that you wouldn't even waste. We're going to pray for you, and every week you're going to give a report on that individual. How many times you talked to them, how many times you sat with them. Bring them to church. We want to get to know them. You take the time to go find someone that everybody else rejected. We went from 8 teenagers to 35 in 3 years because we changed the view of the teenagers to stop looking at people that the world rejects and that don't even know they're lost. Start seeing them as souls. Start seeing them people that need to be saved. Rather than look at that bum and think, oh, I just can't believe he's there. When you roll by, give him a track. Give him a gospel. Invite him to church. Oh, he smells funny. Does that really matter? Does that really matter? He may think he needs money, but really needs is Christ. He needs salvation. He needs the Lord. We need to look for people and show them light at the end of the tunnel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Lord, what a convicting thing it is, Lord, to think maybe even this week, if we would allow the Holy Spirit, I can even think in my own life, there are people that I chose to ignore this week, and I have no idea. if they pass from this life or if they're still living this life condemned. Paul, God said, Paul said he wanted to make sure that every single person that he came in contact with, he at least gave them the gospel. Gave them the gospel. But Lord, I do truly believe, because it's happened in my own life, there are times when we look and allow our prejudices like that of the disciples to keep us from being a witness, that keep us from giving out the gospel, that keep us from being a testimony. Lord, there's people like this woman at the well that don't need God's people to ignore them or to pass them by, but to see them as what they are, a lost soul that honestly may not even know that they're lost. They don't even know they're on their way to hell. They don't even know they're on the broad road to destruction. Lord, may we as Christians every day this week look at each person without stigmatism, without prejudice, and say that's a person that might need Christ. I need to give the gospel to. That might need to meet a group of people, a church family that will put their arms around them and love them. Show some care and concern for them. Lord, help us during this invitation time, Lord, for your people. Come to this altar and say, Lord, I know an individual that needs the gospel. They may not even know that they're lost. Give me the courage this week to put my pride aside, put my nervousness aside, put my excuses aside, and purposefully go and do just as Christ did and say, I must needs go and give them the gospel. Perhaps there's one here tonight, Lord, that's never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, would your Holy Spirit convict them tonight that before they leave this place, they'd make sure their salvation. Lord, would you encourage them to come to the altar tonight? Allow one of us to show them how they can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. They can leave this place filled with the rivers of living water. They'll never thirst again. That's all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand to our feet tonight, as the music begins to play.